testimony and the reminder that you've invited us to die to the old person and to walk in newness of life. Lord, teach us today as we open up this incredible truth called the Bible. Would you lead us into truth and set us free today, Lord? Set us free. That we could be alive and free today in a way that we've never been before. Lord, as a community, as individuals, we just speak out what we've been saying. Lord, we come with hands open, a posture to receive today from you. We put our fists down, our protective mechanisms, and our promotion, self-promotion. And we come as we are, Lord, all over the place in this room. All we come as we are. And we thank you that you're the God that is with us. Make yourself known as we open up your word and as we commune with you through prayer. It's in Jesus' powerful name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Yeah, let's give a little clap for the Lord. Man, that's... Whew. Man, as you're sitting down, tell the person on your left, Tennessee won. And a little louder, tell the person on your right, Florida and Notre Dame lost. That was a terrible segue from that beautiful moment, though, wasn't it? We believe that we can be really serious and really laugh at the same time. Anybody know that in church? Like, we can be both. And we're so grateful, Karen and her family down here, her dad. Man, it's so good to have you here today. Isn't community beautiful? Like, isn't it amazing to be part just of the kingdom of God, the people of God? Where no matter what your past is, you're still invited in. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it also deeply offensive? It is. Like, that person gets in, that person. Yeah, yeah. Jesus says, man, come on. You're all invited. Come on in. It's my family. It's amazing. And I love her testimony and what God's doing. And David back there, man, I love you, David. And you're such a great dude, man. And I've been such a great friend to Kara. Man, yesterday was a fun day as a dad for me personally. My youngest son, he had, I think, maybe the best like day of his life. He's only 9, so that's not saying a lot. But he had an incredible day. He woke up, he had 2 early morning baseball games, and he did pretty well. And then he had a 1 o'clock tackle football game. And in that game, in tackle football, it's the first year he's been playing, so he's figuring it out. He scored not only his first, but his second touchdown in that game, which was amazing as a dad to see. And I got off video, I'm that dad, like, screaming. And so he had an amazing, like, sports day, and then he capped it off with one of his friends, good friends, had a birthday party, and so they were out till, like, 10 o'clock at night, like, jumping on some trampolines and playing laser tag. And he was just so full of life yesterday. I would even say, like, abundant life was flowing out of him yesterday. And yet, as adults, you know, and especially in the Christian world, you know, that idea of being fully alive, man, sometimes we're just like a shell of people. We're just kind of walking around like zombies, trying not to rock the boat, trying to stay below the radar, you know, keep my head down, getting the paycheck to paycheck. And if we can be honest, so many of us, all of us at some point in our life, and maybe you're there today, we just feel like we settle. All right, this is how it's going to be. I guess this is just life. It's just going to be here. And yet Jesus says something in John 10:10 that should really just shake us up a little bit. He says, listen, I came to give you life and that you may have it more what? Abundantly. Life. I came that you would have life, that I could give you life, and that you would have it more abundantly. And I don't know about you, but I want to be alive like my kids are alive. Like, I don't want to be so steeped in fear and steeped in worry and concern, and I don't want to be missing what God is doing. I want to be part of what he's doing. And so we've been talking about what's it look like to live an abundant life. And if you've been here the last 2 weeks, kudos for showing up for week 3. We've talked about marriage, money, and today is another big one. I'm not even gonna tell you yet because you might get up and leave. And I get, like, it's been a little heavy, but we don't want to shy away from the truth. Because what's the truth do? It sets us free. And so today we're gonna look at some truth, and And if you have your Bible, I would love for you to go ahead and grab it. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, we have tons out in the guest services, brand new Bibles we would love to put in your hand. We believe that people need to be in the Word of God so that we can get to know God and we get to know Him. We hear His voice through the Scriptures. And so if you have a phone, iPad, laptop maybe. I don't know what you got here today. Desktop, that would be kind of weird. If you're home, though, you got a desktop, yeah. Open up your Bible app or your Bible, and let's turn to Ephesians 4, and let's just anchor in some truth as we get started here. So I'm going to pick up in verse 20. So Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. Beautiful letter. One of my favorite entire books of the Bible, the way he beautifully weaves in unity and what it looks like to actually live alive and not just live a false self. Verse 20 says, but that is not the way you learned Christ, exclamation mark. And then he says this, he says, assuming that you have heard about him. Ooh. Ooh. Zinger right there. Assuming you have heard about Christ and you were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Where is the truth? In Jesus. And what does the truth do? Do you see the connection, right? He wants to set us free. Christ is the truth. It's in him. And truth sets us free. And so we are set free in Christ and doing things his way. And so we continue on here. And it says the truth is in him. It says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. Do you know what this picture, this baptism is a picture of? It's a picture of Kara, what has happened to her in Christ. She has been buried with Christ. The old man has been cut off. It's no longer there. And she's been raised out of the water. It's a beautiful picture. And she's raised to walk in the newness of what? Life. And he's saying this is what it is. And that life, he says, is found in who? Jesus. The answer is Jesus today most of the time, all right? Jesus. It's like Sunday school. The answer is Jesus. Jesus, all right? And so what we've been rallying around is this real simple truth, and I'm going to keep hitting it every time I preach because it's so important in this series that we see abundant life flows as we align with God and his perspective. This is contrary to what the world would tell you. This is contrary to what our flesh and your desires would sometimes tell you, but the abundant life that you are looking for, that you long for, and that you're wired to desire, it's actually found in doing things God's way, not your own. Now, if we continue here, picking up in verse 29, we see some more things that are gonna help direct us today in our little time today. He says this, and man, I wish I could just and put this in everybody's brain and on their keyboard when they type on social media. Here we go. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Politicians. Business owners. Friends. Family. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. But look what should come out of your mouth. But only such that is good for building up. That would be a great filter to put on your computer. Don't let me type anything that's not going to build somebody else up. How many of you would pay a lot of money for that app, right? Oh my goodness. How many of you would pay for other people to have that on their computer? Yes, praise Jesus, right? So he says, man, don't let anything come out of your mouth that's corrupt. But he says, instead, give things out of your mouth. Speak things that are going to build up that fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do you hear that? What's supposed to come out of our mouth is things that are going to build up and give grace to those that hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know how we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? We do things contrary to the Holy Spirit. And at this church, we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we don't want to be a people that knowingly grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be that kind of people. He said, instead, by whom you are sealed, this is what the Spirit does. He seals you for the day of redemption. Look at 31. He drives this point farther. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. not given to other people, put it away from you. Separate from that which Jesus died for. Separate in your life from that which Christ died to separate you from. It gets better. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted. And then this last line, oh, Lord, help us to receive this today. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. No amens on that one. That's a hard one, isn't it? He said, forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Or what he says to the church of Colossae, he says, as Christ has forgiven you, you forgive other people. And so today, I want to go after forgiveness. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in doing that, but I do want to point you to two tools that I think will help you, because in 30 minutes, like, I'm not going to get into a ton here. We're going to look at some things, hopefully give some space for the Lord to bring some healing. But if you're looking for a good resource, if you want to write this down, it's called Forgiveness by Rodney Hoag. I'm pointing to it like you can read it. I don't know why I'm doing that, but Forgiveness, it's on Amazon, it's on all of them. Forgiveness by Rodney, Hoague. Super thin read, so if you're not a reader, this is a great book. It's an easy book. I go to it a lot. I mark it up a lot, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, practical application of the truth. So a lot of what I'm preaching today is going to flow out of the truth in this, obviously the truth in the scripture. And then secondly, a resource that's going to be really helpful to you. We have an amazing equip ministry, and one of the courses that's coming up, and I think we have a slide, Tom. I didn't set you up very well for this, but we have a course that's coming up called The Gospel of Forgiveness. The good news, oh, there it is. The gospel is the good news of forgiveness. And so if you want it more after today's message, I believe Scott's going to be teaching that. Is that right, Scott? You're going to be one of the teachers there, an incredible man. So it's going to be a deep dive into forgiveness, what it is, obviously give you tools to help you walk in forgiveness, but also how do you help other people walk in forgiveness? It's so important. We're ministers, we're priests, and we're called to actually facilitate forgiveness. And so I would encourage you to sign up for this class. When's it happening, Kim? Sometime this month, maybe? Yes, sometime this month. That's all you need to know. October 21st. You heard it from our equip guru. Yes. So forgiveness. What in the world is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? So the scriptures give us kind of two word pictures that I think are really helpful for forgiveness. So the first word picture we see in the scripture is that forgiveness is releasing a debt. So somebody owes me something, whether it's a small or it's a big, they owe me a debt. And what it is when I forgive that person, it's really a banking term, I'm releasing them from owing me that debt. That's what forgiveness is in the scriptures. But the other word picture that we see is that it's a cutting off. So I want you to think like big scissors, like massive, you know, like when they have a ribbon cutting at somewhere, they have these massive scissors. Just think about that. We're cutting off the effect of that offense against me. That'd be good if we could do that, right? And what I know about abundant life is that abundant life is marked with freedom. You can't have abundant life if you are not free. And what I know about freedom is that you can't walk in freedom if you're walking in unforgiveness. It binds you, you become a slave to it. So if you want to have abundant life, and I think all of us would say, man, I want to experience the abundant life that Christ said he came to give us, I want you to hear me clearly today. There is no way that you're going to experience the fullness of the life that Christ wants for you unless you learn how to walk in forgiveness to those that hurt you, offend you, and cause you pain. You can't do it. You can fake it. You can put the quotes on Instagram and social media. You can do all that stuff, but you will not personally have fullness and freedom and abundant life here unless we learn to walk the way of Jesus. Man, we love the signs and wonders. We love the healing. We love the preaching, doing the thing Jesus did. But man, Jesus forgave a lot of people. And as disciples, we're called to follow his way, right? And so today, I'm going to go as fast as I can actually here. And this is like my mechanical engineer coming out in me. And so I've got a long checklist today. And I would love for you to take notes. And like we always say, this message is not like the end. My hope is it's the beginning of a conversation between you and the Lord about forgiveness. And then a little bit later, we're going to have some space to let the Spirit work in this room to operate in some forgiveness. And so I got a list of lies that need to die about forgiveness that'll help us see it a little bit more clearly. So the first thing, if you're taking notes, I would love for you to write down this, is a lie that needs to die is that forgiveness communicates that the offense is okay. Sometimes we have this false view of forgiveness. Like if I forgive, let's say Scott has offended me in some way. If I forgive him, what the wrong thinking is that when I forgive him, what I'm really communicating is what he did to me is right. How many of you know God does not call evil good? Somebody just, you need the freedom of knowing that. What we're talking about in forgiveness is not me telling you or the scriptures telling you today that you need to forgive and by essence say that what was done to you was okay. There's some really, really terrible things that have happened to people in this room. From like really small things when you were a child to like massive things that some of you, it's amazing that you still are showing up and you're getting after it and you're pursuing Jesus, honestly. And I just need you to know today off the bat that when we're talking about forgiveness, it doesn't mean that you have to say what was done to you was good or right or of God. And so there's freedom to say, okay, so what does it mean? Well, we're not saying it's good, but what we're saying is when somebody has hurt me, offended me, caused me pain, I'm not saying what they did was okay. What I'm doing is saying I'm cutting off the debt. Remember, scissors, massive scissors. I'm cutting off that debt. I'm cutting off the effects of your sin against me, and I'm releasing you to Jesus. Like, I want you to see this picture. Like, when I forgive somebody, it's not about what they did to me. It's about my process to say, you know what? I'm going to cut that off of me, and I'm going to take that person, and I'm going to release them to Jesus. Because you know what the scriptures say in Romans 12? Vengeance is Derek, says the Lord. No, we like that. Oh, we love that. But you know what it says? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And so the picture of forgiveness is, I'm not saying what was done to me is good. I'm just saying what you did to me, who you are, I'm cutting off the effects of that sin, and I'm handing you over to Jesus. And I'm entrusting to Jesus. And I'm gonna believe that when Jesus says that he's gonna make all wrongs right, that includes everything in my life. And you know what that does to us? I don't have to right every wrong. Man, there's so much freedom. Like, truth really does set us free. I'm telling you, it'll set you free today. Now I say that, and I want to attack this, and it's not one of my bullet points, but it's another piece of this forgiveness piece, is it's really okay that if you've forgiven somebody, that you still have good and healthy boundaries with that person. See, in the church world, we get really weird sometimes. And like, I hear horror stories. I sit down with people and like horror stories of saying like when they were young and somebody hurt them or abused them or something. And the whole idea was they need to forgive them. And what forgiveness meant, that they were back in perfect relationship with that person. It's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness requires one person submitted to Jesus. Cutting off the debt. It doesn't mean that you're gonna be best friends with the person that's hurt you. But you know what does mean is that forgiveness is the first step towards reconciliation. Reconciliation is not guaranteed. Some of you just need to take a deep breath and be okay with that. Whew. The command is to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. But reconciliation requires two people that are willing to humble themselves and to agree on expectations to walk forward. And if you've got somebody in your life that's not willing to do that, you can forgive that person and yet not be reconciled to them in relationship. It's okay. It's okay to have good, healthy boundaries. It's okay to not trust somebody that has deeply hurt you. It's okay. You've heard the saying before, and maybe it's worth noting again, that trust is lost in buckets. It's gained back in drops. It's okay to have healthy boundaries with somebody that's hurt you. That doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them, all right? Number two thing that needs to die, this thought, is that forgiveness enables us to forget the offense. That if I think, okay, I've forgiven that person, somehow in my mind, I think that forgiveness literally means that I'm going to forget what they've done to me. And that's not always the case. And that's okay. I love what Rodney says in this book. He says, forgiveness removes the power of the memory over your life. Oh, now think about the difference there. So when I cut off the debt that somebody owes me, when I cut off the effects of that sin and I hand them over to Jesus, I'm not saying I'm never going to think about that memory again. I'm not saying that I'm never going to think about that time when this person hurt me or abused. It's not saying that you won't ever forget it. But what Jesus wants to do is he wants to remove the power of that memory over you. And that person has over you. He wants to release you from the power over you and give you power over it. That's the beauty of forgiveness. That we can actually go back to that moment that we were hurt. And that person doesn't lord it over us in our minds. Doesn't that sound like freedom? Doesn't that sound like good news, right? It doesn't mean that I forget, but man, oh my goodness, it means that when I think about it, when I go back, when those feelings come up, that I can walk in the power that God has set me free, and so I have set them free, and so it doesn't have to have power over me anymore. That kind of truth, man, it does set us free. And number three, the lie that needs to die is that forgiveness requires feelings. I like feelings when I have them. My wife says, she tells me my emotions oftentimes. Do you know that God gave us emotions and feelings? They're not all bad. They're not all bad. They actually tell us a lot about what's going on in our heart right here, right? Now, where it gets weird and bad in the faith circle is that when our emotions and feelings lead everything. Man, you get really weird. You get some really weird theologies when emotions and feelings are dictating everything that you want to do. And here's the invitation that God has. Your feelings and emotions matter, but your faith is not based in your feelings. It's faith. It's anchored in following Jesus. And I'm going to say something that may come across a little harsh, but I think it's true, is that you don't have to have feelings to be obedient to Jesus. I'll say it over here, because y'all didn't help me out at all on that one. You don't have to have feelings to follow Jesus and be obedient to his teaching. You have to have love. He said, those that love me will obey me. And love's not a feeling or emotion, right? It's a decision followed by an action. This is what we talk about all the time. It's not a, oh, Jesus. It's no, Jesus, I see what you've done. I've recognized you. I'm giving my life to you. I love you. I'm pouring out my life. You have it all. And so today, if you're like, man, I'm not feeling forgiveness. Like, I don't have the warm fuzzies about this person. Join the club. It's not required. And that can release a lot of us from saying, okay, I can't forgive because I don't feel like it. No, no, no. Jesus has already said, as you've been forgiven, what are you supposed to do? Didn't say if you feel like it. If you have good thoughts towards that person, no, he says, actually, Derek, here's what I'm asking you to do. Die to yourself. Follow me. Lay down your life. Forgive, even if you don't feel like it. Our faith isn't based in feelings. It's based in following Jesus in his way. And I'm going to tell you, it'll set you free today if we could get over the feelings that we feel like we have to have sometimes and we would just follow Jesus and the clear path that he's given us, all right? So it doesn't require feelings, which is great because some of us are like, I don't have feelings. That's good. You can forgive somebody. It's awesome. Next truth here is that forgiveness, this lie needs to die, is that withholding forgiveness won't affect me. Oh, And Donna, man, she preaches this one so well. And I'm actually going to quote Donna from a teaching that I was in that she gave. She said this, unforgiveness is like eating poison and waiting for your enemy to die. Oh, mic drop. Thank you for that, Donna. But this is what we do, right? I hold unforgiveness. Like, I'm going to hold bitterness. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to hate this person. And this is what we do. Just consider, do you ever do this? Somebody has hurt you. Somebody has pained you. Maybe it was 20 years ago. Maybe it was just today. Maybe it was this morning. And so what do we find ourselves doing? We find ourselves having conversations with that person in our head and not in real life. Anybody else? And I love to dream about that person and how they are going to feel the wrath of God. Anybody else love that, right? We love those feelings. We love the dreams because we're like, yes, vengeance is Derek's. Oh, nope. Vengeance is whose? The Lord's. And then we have these conversations in our head, and man, we get in little groups sometimes and we talk about that person, and we just are. And here's the thing, we're so egocentric. Like, we're talking about that person so much. And you know what this person's not thinking about? You? Honestly, most of the people in this room that you're holding unforgiveness, that person doesn't even know that you care about them. And yet we think, if I can hate them, if I can be bitter to them, somehow it's affecting you, them. And I'm just telling you, it does not affect the person that you want it to affect. It's actually killing you. I don't care how much internal things you're doing and all the dreams and all the daydream and all that. It is killing you. It's killing you. It's killing you. And today that needs to die. Today we have an opportunity to lay that down, because what I see in unforgiveness, it not only impacts our spiritual health, obviously the scriptures are filled with things where Jesus even said, listen, if you're not willing to forgive your brother that's sinned against you, don't consider that you're going to be able to receive the forgiveness of God. That should make us be like, oh my goodness, like this is serious. But not only is it spiritual, like not only does it block our ability to really hear and discern what God is saying, but it also affects us emotionally, mentally, and physically. Unforgiveness and bitterness, man, it makes us on an emotional roller coaster. It affects our mental space, how we're, every time I think of that person, or here's if we're just being honest, every time the first name of that person that we're holding with forgiveness comes up, every time we just hear that name, oh, can I be real honest here? There was somebody who I didn't like very much, and I didn't want to forgive, and their first name was actually a name of a restaurant. And you don't know who it is. It was in way before I ever came here. But every time I passed that restaurant, I would get angry. Isn't that so stupid? But how many of you can relate? Like we're there. Like, that's the kind of people we're bent to. Like, okay, that person hurt me. So now every time I see their name, I'm going to rage inside. And I wonder why I'm raging outside. And what's even crazier is that the scriptures actually tell us that our unforgiveness actually affects our physical bodies as well. And honestly, you can even look at science right now, medical journals, and they're coming into alignment with this very thing. And not all disease and not all pains, for sure. We're not making a blanket statement with this. But I've been amazed just in ministry and talking with people and walking people through forgiveness, how many of our physical ailments are tied to our unforgiveness. And you say, Derek, isn't that a stretch? Well, let me just give you some scripture, because we love to be steeped in the scripture here. James 5, 15, 16 says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, this isn't direct correlation, but what we see is a connection between our forgiveness, our confession of truth, our forgiveness, and our physical healing. We can't deny the two. They are real. And we've seen people in this church that they come, they ask for prayer. They've been asking for healing. They've asked for physical healing, and nothing breaks through. Nothing breaks through. Nothing breaks through. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, is there anybody in your life where you're holding a grudge against? And sometimes the waterworks happen. Sometimes that doesn't have to happen. Remember, feelings aren't required. following Jesus is required. Or sometimes they're like, yeah, actually there's this ex-husband that, or there's this person who hurt me, or there's a person, and then we just open up the space for them to release that person, not say what was done to them was good, remember point number one, but we release that person, and as they receive forgiveness, we've seen it right here in this room, people release somebody in forgiveness and then receive physical healing. Not 100%, we don't say that, but we just see the connection that sometimes unforgiveness, it does affect our physical bodies. Is that like obvious to everybody in the room? Like when you're angry, when you're stressed, when you're anxious, when you're mad, your body will receive it. And what we need to see today is that the unseen world is impacted by our agreements. Like this is like not like, this is real. It's not just like, get a message, yay. Like your life, the life that God wants you to receive and walk in, the abundance he wants to give you, it's tied to this stuff. And so our agreements, what I agree with on the earth, it affects the unseen. And how many of you know the unseen also affects the real world here? So let me just give you two examples. So I just gave you the one, right? Sometimes when we side with darkness and say, man, I'm on a vengeance with that person. Oh my goodness, I want to get him. That attracts darkness. Can we just agree with that? Like when I'm partnering with the enemy, I can expect the enemy to be, good job there. Keep it going. Let's go. Come on. Here's some more. Ooh. And sometimes we like that. And so that happens. But here's the inverse. And this is the other side of things. When we partner with the kingdom of God, ooh-wee. That sounded like I was from Arkansas. They lost. Sweet. When we partner with God, watch out. Let me just give you one example. And I don't. Sometimes he sits in the balcony. I don't see him here at the first service. But a couple years ago, I taught on forgiveness, and I gave space, like we're going to do here in a few minutes, for people to release their offenders in forgiveness. Well, there was a gentleman here that day, and he prayed and asked the Lord, like we're going to do in just a few minutes, Lord, is there anybody who I need to forgive today? And this guy came to mind that he hadn't seen in years. And it was a little painful for him to even just sit there in the moment. But he said, Lord, I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to forgive this person. I cut off the effect of his sin against me, and I hand him over to you. And he said after church, he went to Dollar General. And as he's in Dollar General, he sees the man who he hadn't seen in years. Do you think when we side with God, it doesn't affect the unseen? Wrong. It does. So he sees the man that he had just prayed about here in this room. And instead of being bitter and angry and trying to get out the door as fast as possible, you've been there before, like don't like, go to another aisle, go low, kitsch, walk through, right? He didn't do that. He walked up to the man. Oh my goodness. He shook his hand, and they had an incredible conversation. See, the agreements that we make, man, way bigger impact than we could ever think or imagine. And so if you're walking in unforgiveness today, I'm just telling you, it's making a difference in the unseen world. And if today, if you take a step of obedience and you forgive somebody who has offended you, watch out, because God's gonna blow your mind. I believe it. The last thing that I wanna point here that needs to die is that forgiveness is a once and done decision. Sometimes we think, man, I've forgiven that person. It should not be an issue anymore. And then we begin to do some self-hatred. We feel guilty. We feel ashamed that why am I still dealing with it? I've forgiven that person. And forgiveness is not always, sometimes it is, it's not always, okay, I forgive that person. Never am I going to deal with that again. Forgiveness is a grace for the moment. This person has hurt me, Lord. I'm struggling with this, and so I cut off the debt. Tomorrow, I'm going about my day, and that person comes in my mind somehow, and once again, I'm feeling hatred. I'm feeling bitterness. Guess what I have an opportunity to do again in that moment? Forgive them. A guy came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive? Seven times? Super generous. Seven times, wow. That would be a lot for many of us. Seven times. What was Jesus' response? No, seven times 70. Don't do the math because it doesn't really matter, because that idiom in his language was a saying that meant as many times as it takes, forgive that person. So in my marriage, there was this, you know, season where I hurt Kate and in a lot of different ways. And we worked through that, and she forgave me, which is awesome. She forgave me. I started earning trust back little by little, and so she forgave me. And yet, even 5 years after that forgiveness, there were days where she would wake up and she was like, she said, it feels like just yesterday you did that to me. Now, was Kate wrong? No, she wasn't. You know what she had an opportunity to do in that moment? 7 times 70. Lord, I choose to forgive Derek. I cut off the effects of that previous sin 10 years ago. I cut it off and I release him to you. Because it's not just once and done. And honestly, sometimes if we in the church world, we look at somebody, I thought you forgave me. Why is this still an issue? And honestly, if you have a manipulative or a narcissistic spouse, this is oftentimes what you can hear. And they'll use the religious jargon against you all the time. I thought you forgave me. Why is this an issue? Why aren't you treating me better? And you can say with confidence, I have forgiven you. I feel it today. And so here's what I'm gonna step away right now, and I'm gonna get before the Lord, and I'm gonna hand you over to them again, to the Lord again, and I'm gonna forgive you again. Once again, if you're in a bad relationship, boundaries are good, so don't hear me wrongly. But forgiveness doesn't have to be once and done. It's over time. We continue. Anytime it comes up, Lord, I have another opportunity. I'm going to forgive you. Because what Jesus said, he said, forgive those who trespass against you. Forgive those that trespass against you. As we stated in Ephesians chapter 4, as we started, he says, listen, as Christ has forgiven you, you also must what? Forgive. And so today I want to transition to take communion, because I want us to remember today that Christ has forgiven us. And then we're going to move into a time where we just let the Spirit of God move in this place. We're going to just be vulnerable and real before the Lord. And some of you are going to get free today of something that's maybe for a long time been keeping you in bondage, and the Lord is going to deliver you in truth. But before we get there, I want us to remember that Christ has forgiven you. Anybody so grateful that Christ has forgiven you? Like, I'm so grateful that we hold these today, and it's remembrance that I have been forgiven. Like, as I hold these, I think about the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and I'm reminded that I am no longer the old man. Anybody else excited that you're no longer the old man? In Christ, you are a new creation, right? And so that's exciting. Like, that's the beautiful picture that Kara showed us today, that you are no longer the old man. You've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So we're remembering today that Christ has forgiven you once and for all. He didn't have to die on the cross twice. And he's not going to have to die again. He died once for all sin. That if you would come to him and ask for forgiveness, man, he's faithful and just every time. Because he doesn't just say, Derek, forgive them as many times as it takes. He models it. Derek, I'll forgive you as many times as it takes for you to believe me. So this morning, we come to the table with Jesus, and we settle in this truth that you have been set free. You are no longer the old man. You've been raised to walk in newness of life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you have been forgiven, forgive. And so, Lord, as we come around your table, communion today, the Lord's Supper, we thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your obedience to the Father, that you would even die on a cross as a human being, that we could come alive. So let's take the bread. Remember that Christ said, this is my body that's going to be broken for you. Let's take and eat the bread. In the same way, Jesus offered up a cup. represented his blood that was going to be poured out for all humanity. That blood was shed for you and for me. And it's just as powerful as it was 2,000 years ago today. Let's take a moment before we drink the cup and just thank Jesus for washing our sins away and making us new people. Just you thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for taking away my sin. Thank you, Lord, for washing away all the wrongs that I've done. Lord, thank you for grace and mercy that flowed from Calvary. Jesus held up the cup. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which will be poured out for you. Let's take and remember the power of God's blood to wash away our sins. For the next couple minutes, I want to give us space in the room, so I just ask you maybe just settle down a little bit. If you got to leave like an emergency, you can head out, but if you can just hang out just for a few minutes here, I think this is a sacred space. I've been praying over this time for the Lord that he would walk us into freedom, and so I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes today. I'm not going to do anything or make you feel weird or make you do anything, but just close your eyes this morning just so you can connect with the Father. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the perfect picture of the Father. The Spirit of God gives us vision of Jesus. He allows us to see him. So Lord, we sang, our hands are open as we started today. We sang that we want your kingdom to come. And so Lord, I pray right now that you would let your kingdom come in power. Lord, we want to be a people that walk in your way, not just talk about you, not just read about you, but actually walk the way of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you as we just remember through communion the forgiveness that you've given us. And today we want to take a step of obedience, not because we feel it, not because we have to, but because we want to step with you, Jesus. And we want to be obedient to you today to forgive those that have trespassed or hurt us or sinned against us or offended us. So Jesus, we recognize that your presence is here. You speak to us. We just quiet the lies of the enemy right now. May we commune with you. May we hear from you. So we're going to ask the Lord this simple question, and you may not have to even think about this, but is there anybody, Jesus, that I am actively withholding forgiveness from? Is there somebody that I am not choosing to forgive up until this point? And I just want you to sit in that. For some of you, it's really painful. Scary to even think about that person or that group of people sometimes. It's groups of people sometimes we need to consider. So just sit with that. And as you think about that person that you're angry, that you're bitter against, that's hurt you really bad, I want you to think of Jesus. It's the image of the invisible God. Let's just think about Jesus. It says, meditate on him. We have the mind of Christ. Renewed it. He's renewing it. And I want you to just in your mind, I want you to see yourself taking that person to Jesus and handing them over to him. It's helpful for us to see it. It's not necessary, but it's helpful. What you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I'm cutting off the debt that person owes me, and I'm handing them over to you. And so I just want you to, even as you're handing them over to Jesus, that you would just speak out loud, just a whisper, or you can just say it in your mind if you need to. Just say, Jesus, I forgive them and I hand them over to you. I just want you to really feel the peace that it's not on you to make things right. It's not on you to carry it out. It's no longer on you, it's on Jesus. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will make all things right. Lord, as we step in obedience and we cut off the debt and we hand the offender over to you and we entrust them to you, what do you want to give us in return? So just ask the Lord, Lord, is there something you want me to know? Is there something you want to give me in return for this step of obedience? Just let the Lord minister to you. Let him talk to you. All over the room, we just say, more Holy Spirit, would you just do it? Would you just lead us into freedom? And if you walk by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. Jesus, thank you for modeling what it looks like to live on this earth as a human being, connected to the Father through the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive us 7 times 70, as many times as it takes. I pray, Lord, that we as a community would continue to grow in maturity, that we could be image bearers more clearly of you and your ways, that we would be light in a dark world. Lord, that we would grow in maturity as we forgive those that have hurt us, as we walk in freedom that you came to give us. I pray even this week that you continue to minister to our hearts, that you would teach us to walk as people that extend forgiveness, and that you would show us where you're at in the midst of all of it. In Jesus' name.